morning to each of you. It's good to see everyone here as we engage in study of the scriptures and as we have been worshiping God, and that we'll continue to do so as we observe the things that he has required of us and as we learn more of his will and apply it in our lives. And we certainly are thankful for those of you visiting with us. We are glad that you're here, and we encourage you to open up your Bibles and to study along as we look to God and see what he has to say and what's revealed in his word, that we might grow and be all that he would have us to be. My condolences to the Miller family at the loss of Narda's father, and I so want to keep them in our prayers and to remember them, as well as the McCorder family at Frieda losing her sister. And so those are the things that we go through in this life. And as we look to God, that he will comfort our hearts and strengthen us and help us to endure what we face in this life. If you will, turn your Bibles with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, and there we'll look at, in particular, verses 9 and 10. In the historical writings concerning the people of which David and Solomon would reign over, and in particular, David, at this time, he is nearing the end of his life, and as Solomon has the responsibility of building the temple, and notice what David points out in those verses, there in verses 9 and 10, when he says, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father, and serve him with whole heart and willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts, and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever." And then he says, "Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be courageous and act." This morning, I'd like to title the lesson, or I did title the lesson, "Some Things to Consider and Why." And this is exactly what David is telling Solomon, and that is, consider his responsibility. And by considering your responsibility, then he says, you be courageous and act. David is telling Solomon to give thought, to ponder his situation, to ponder his responsibility. And as he thinks about his situation, as he ponders his responsibility, that he has been chosen to build the temple. David could not do so, but Solomon was the one that was chosen. And so as Solomon would consider these things, it would help him to realize the gravity of what he would be doing. And that is building the house of the Lord, where those would come and worship God and remember what he had done for them. And so in this, I believe there are very valuable lessons for us that we need to take time and consider certain things, to think about them, to ponder. And that encouragement is throughout the scriptures. And we'll just look at a few this morning so that we could look at these things to help us to be able to take the time and to take a breather in life so that we can be rejuvenated. It was Frank Outlaw who said, "Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny." And with the name of that last name, Outlaw, I guess he would have some experience with that. But the idea really is for us to take time and take this breather to think about these things and consider them, because they will have an impact on our attitude, it will have an impact on our thoughts, and it will have an impact on our action. And when we do that, and we can clearly see, when we take the time and consider the things that we're going to talk about this morning, we can see that it will change our lives. It will strengthen us. It will revive us, And then it will show us that we have a lot to live for. That's the reason why we do these things. That's why when you look at in the context of where this instruction or this encouragement comes from, as we look at those the context, we're going to see how much of an impact it will have on our lives. When we do ponder, when we do take the time to think about these things, and we'll be able to see how it could change our lives. And the first consideration for us this morning, for us to look at in reference to this encouragement, is in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 7. It is there that the people are being told by Moses as they are preparing to go into the promised land. And it is there that they are encouraged by the word of God to consider this particular situation. And when you look at, again at the context of this, it should help us to be able to see how this could change our lives when we do take the breather and that we do think about these things. In verse 7 of Deuteronomy chapter 32, it is written, it says, "Remember the days of old." Now notice the next phrase in the New American Standard. It says, "Consider the years of all generations. Ask your father, and he will inform you. Your elders, and they will tell you." And then you look at verse 8 when he says, "When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of man, and he set the boundaries of the people according to the number of the sons of Israel." In the context of this instruction, the reader or the writer is telling us to consider the years of all generations. Why is that? Why is he encouraging them to consider all the years of the generations? And when you begin to ponder and consider such things, you'll begin to see why it is important for us to do this. This was the song of Moses, and it talks about the faithfulness of God and the faithlessness of the people. And so they were told to consider in the song the generations. And then they are encouraged to seek the experienced. And then what they are seeing is they're going to be told of a beginning because of God. That's why you and I are to consider generations. And the reason why we should consider all generations, we are being told that history has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Yes. It is at the beginning that we learn where we came from. It is at the beginning where we learn how we have obtained things. It is at the beginning that we learn where we are going. It is during the middle where the bulk of the living takes place. It is the bulk of where all those things that transpires in our lives, the challenges that we face. It is no wonder that they are encouraged to ask the fathers, the experienced, and so forth. That's exactly what Paul was telling Titus over in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, in reference to the older women and the older men teaching the young women and the young men. Why? Because there is a beginning. And there is those who have experienced life talk about the middle. Now, because of my age, my young age, I'm at the beginning of the middle. What? But that's the point here. It's for the older, the experienced, to help those, the young, as they begin the middle of their lives, to live a life that is productive, a life that is faithful to the Lord. Because the experience are nearing the end. And they are reflecting back on life, and it's to help the younger to be able to live their lives to the full extent in service to God, so that their steps may be carefully made. To choose wisely the path that they would walk. And then, at the same time of considering those generations, we learn that there will be an end, and so we begin to prepare for that. You see, it starts to change the attitude. It starts to change the way we would live. It is what was stated and read by Brother Adam in Job chapter 8, verses 7 through 10. Now, yes, this is the conversation that Job is having with his friend. It is Bildad that says this. And in spite of all the things and the conversation that is going on, that there are nuggets of gold to learn. And I believe that Bildad points out something that is very interesting for us to think about. When he says, though your beginning was insignificant, yet your end will increase greatly. He says, please inquire of past generations and consider the things searched out by their fathers. Think about those things. And then he says, if you seek him, he will let you find him. Consider the things to truly search for and to find out what makes an individual who is faithful to the Lord, why is he strong in his faith? And that's why we have chapters like Hebrews chapter 11. Those things written for us so that we learn what to search for in life, and that is to seek after God. And when you and I begin to ponder the generations, we can see what happened with a generation as they're growing stronger and stronger, and then all of a sudden we see them wane for some reason or another. We learn about their history. We learn how they started out strong. They were faithful, following the things of God, and then we see where they went astray. And it helps us to learn from that. And the encouragement here is to, here, seek him, and he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. And that's what you can see when you start to observe generations. And we can even make practical applications of that today. When we look at our nation as a nation that was founded upon religious freedom, now there is the struggle to even retain God in the knowledge. You see, you start to learn. If you do not learn from history, you are bound to repeat it. And that's the point. When we consider generations, then we become careful to direct our steps. We begin to seek those who would guide us, or seek the one who would guide us through the path of life. And that's God. And the reason why is because when you look at God and see what he says, that he is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He didn't change. And it becomes a very valuable standard for us. So that as we are walking through the middle of life, there is God who is the sustaining force and the guiding force to help us to live through the middle of life, that we will be prepared towards the end. Because there is a beginning, a middle, and an end. And so, the writer in Deuteronomy is encouraging them to consider all generations. Bildad is encouraging to inquire of the past generations. And we learn from those things. We learn from their mistakes. But the most important history for us to examine and have a full picture of is the history that God has revealed in His Word. You see that. It's imperative that we understand and we ask and we seek and we learn from that history. It's a very important history. And so the writers say, think about these things. I used to have a phrase a long time ago was, hey, think about it. And especially when I lived up in New York, that was the main, think about it. And as you're in discussions about things and you're reasoning and so forth, you see a person's reasoning is off as you're studying the scriptures. He said, think about it. And that's what the writer said. Think about it. We need to be able to see this history and have it put together as we grow and as we learn, because it is a history that will help direct our steps in life. And so many young folks falter at that. And not only the young folks, but we older folks have a faltered at it too. I just let my age out there. That's all. Yeah, we fall. Why? Because we forget the beginning. And we forgot the middle. Because we're trying to grab hold of that beginning, and so that we, in other words, from a monetary standpoint, not from a spiritual standpoint, but from a monetary standpoint, we want the physical things of life, and we want to, and we go through all of these changes, we go through all of these things to try to hold on to our youth. And it's fleeting. That's what happens when you consider the past generations. There is a time when something starts, and then we see the time when it ends. And so we need to consider all generations. Think about it. So that we might learn. But the most important one is the biblical history. You know what's neat about biblical history? It is pointing us to the aspect of judgment. And if we have allowed God to direct our steps, and if we have lived our lives as we have sought Him, and we have found Him, and we allow Him to lead us, we are then prepared for the end. And so when we come before God in judgment, that history is leading us somewhere, teaching us those valuable lessons so that when we stand before God, we will be with Him in eternity. And so we need to consider and think to make sure that we don't go wrong. If we're going wrong, get back on the path. Don't be afraid of that. Here's another one. 1 Samuel chapter 12. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, Samuel is addressing the people of Israel. As he's addressing them in connection to chapter 12, he's talking about the beginning of the age where a king is going to lead them. And in the process of this, Samuel points out to them in verse 24, in 1 Samuel 24, he says this. Let's start with verse 23. He says, moreover, or verse 22, for the Lord will not abandon His people. His words of encouragement. On account of His great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for Himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. But I will instruct you in the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth, and with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. 1 Samuel 12, verse 24. Samuel is encouraging the people to consider the great things that God had done for them. And I use the phrase us, for us to consider these things as well. As Samuel is encouraging the people then, and as we are to be encouraged today to consider the great things that God has done for us. Because what's interesting is the word that he uses, what God has done for you. That's a personal instruction to help them. And that's what he points out to them. That's the key word, you. And so each of us need to stop in our daily activities. And I know we're running from here to here trying to meet all kinds of schedules. I understand that. And I know we got to get this, we got to get that, we got to be prepared for this, got to do this, you know, got to take the kids over here, got to pick someone up, you know, and all. We got all of that. Stop. Stop. Take a breather. Sit down. Think about what God has done for us. What happens is it begins to change the attitude. It begins to change the life. And as it begins to make those changes, remember, it starts to change the character. And then as you give that consideration, we're going to find out that our experiences, yes, are different in how we perceive them, even though we may be going through the same things. Yeah. The lesson is that as we consider that, even though we're going through the same thing, even with husband and wives, they go through the trials together. But it's going to impact them differently. So each, the husband, has to consider what God has done for him as he has gone through the trials of life or the challenges or even the blessings that God has provided. And the wife has to do the same thing. It is personal. That's why. And even the young folks, take time and consider. A lot of times, we do not see how much we are blessed. I'm impressed when a young person realizes how blessed they are. What does that say about them? That they are giving deep thoughts to the things that they're experiencing. And they could see God is providing the strength for them to endure that. They are able to see that there are people that love them and encourages them to continue in life and to grow stronger in the Lord and let not their faith wane in the challenges that they would face. And they get stronger and stronger, and as they get stronger and stronger, they become towers and pillars of examples among their peers. That's what it does. It changes. Instead of woe is me, it is happy am I and grateful am I for the strength that God provides. And then you know what happens? Older folks like Randy and Alan and myself. Those young people are wise beyond their years. There is that maturity about them. And even as we have experienced in the Bible classes, I'll tell you what, I'm just smiling from ear to ear in our studies. And as I'm hearing the responses in the studies and the thoughts that individuals are thinking about in those Bible classes, when that is happening, it is showing maturity, it's showing growth. And the more that you think about it, and the more that you express it, the stronger you get, and the bigger the smile is. Because I'm encouraged. Encouraged. Everyone is. That's what it's about when we consider those things. It changes. It impacts those around you. Even if you go from rags to riches or riches to rags. If you think about what God has done, when you go from riches to rags, you are thankful that God has been with you to allow you to experience those times. Is that not what Paul said when he wrote the letter to the Philippian brethren? I know what it means to prosper. And I know what it means to have little. I know that. Paul says, I have experienced the ups and I have experienced the downs. But in all of that, he still considers what Christ has done for him far greater. See, that's what it did for him. And you could see the strength. You could see the strength in those men who wrote as they started out with Jesus, and they got stronger and stronger as they consider those things of what God had done, as they even consider, and they talk about that in their preaching of the gospel of Christ, as they reflect back on the history. And they bring individuals up to date to paint that picture so that they have that whole perspective of what God has done throughout history, building their confidence and faith in Him. That's what you're seeing. That's what you learn when we do these things, when we think about what God has done. And when we think about our own lives, it helps us to grow stronger and stronger. You see, God's history and the things that God has done for us, when we think about them, we begin to say it speaks to us. It speaks that God is the one that has provided for us. God has been the one that has sustained us. And God is the one that is preparing us to meet Him. That's what we see. That's what it reminds us of, to prepare. When we look at what God has done and what God is doing in our lives. And so notice what Samuel says as he points these things out to them. He says, moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. Samuel is telling us that he has considered these things and how important it is to God and how important it is to him to make sure that he does what God requires of him, and also that he is thinking about the people. And he says, when you do that, and as his example sets before us in verse 23, then 24 shows the fear of the Lord. And it shows his service to him. And so he wants the people to consider the same thing, so that they will grow in their respect and reverence for God, that they would serve him all the days of their lives. Romans chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, Paul writes to the brethren there, and he says, or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. You see, he is addressing the blessings of obedience and the cursings or the consequences of disobedience. And when they think about the riches and what God has done for them, it should motivate them to obey. But remember, as we've already talked about, that sometimes we just forget. Or we do not allow those challenges to impact us as they should. We do not learn from those lessons as we should. Nor do we teach them as we should. May it renew our fervor to teach as we think about the lessons that we learn from God being with us, from the biblical history that we have learned about the beginning and the middle, living life in preparation for the judgment of God. It's hard to hate someone who has done good for you. It's hard to hate someone who's done good to you. So, we were kidding around the other day, and they were talking about how they're now trying to get marriage courses for those who to get married. The first marriage, they talk about 10 hours and so forth. They've gone on with that. And so they gave an illustration of, you know, the husband and wife arguing with each other and the things that they were saying. And so we're kind of kidding around. And Jeremiah said, you know what they need to do? They're doing it all wrong. What the husband should be yelling at the wife is, you're the most lovely thing that I've ever seen. And then walk away. And I just started, it is funny, you know, when you think about it. But it's true. It's true. It's hard to hate that when someone is yelling lovely things at you. When someone is yelling good things that are for you. You know, it's hard to hate anyone like that. And it causes you, it pauses. And the expression, that you can see the wife as she's getting ready to lay it. And when the husband says things like that, and she goes, did he just say what I thought he said? And see what it does? It causes pause and it causes change. That's what it's about. And so here we see the encouragement for us to ponder those things of what God has done for us. And it will motivate us to obey. 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 6. In 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse 6 there, again it is Jehoshaphat who is appointing judges over the people. And what is interesting in that passage, that Jehoshaphat and what he says to those judges, and I'll tell you what, it is a timeless statement that he makes. And the statement that he makes as he has appointed those judges to be to judge the people, in verses 4 and 5, it states in that point, he appointed judges in the land and all in the fortified cities of Judah, city by city. Verse 6 there. He said to the judges, consider what you are doing. For you do not judge for man, but for the Lord who is with you when you render judgment. Consider what you're doing. Look at the gravity of what they're involved in regards to the people. Look at that gravity. It's important for them to consider this. And as they consider these things, they would begin to see that they are to conduct their lives as they ought to, that this is a serious matter, and they would make sure that things are going accordingly. And it would cause them to be fair. It would cause them to execute justice. And I know at times we are impulsive. I know I can be impulsive. Sometimes I can get so caught up in a matter. And especially as I preach, sometimes the thought just leaves. And then I have to try to find that thought. You know, and so forth. But to consider what you're doing. And that's what Jehoshaphat is saying to the people. Because they're rendering judgment in reference to the Lord. because our God is a God of justice. And they need to make sure that they are living accordingly. Oh, might that be said in our courts today as well. And we, as the people of God, we need to consider what we're doing. And the reason why is because what Paul said over in Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. He says, for through the law, he says, I died to the law so that I might live to God. That's why we need to consider, because we live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, live by faith in the Son of God. It is a life that is lived to God. That's what I want to encourage you to think about, consider. It is a life that is a life that lives to God. And just as David told Solomon about he was chosen, who knows that God's will has been for you to be where you are, that you might be an example to others. Live that life that is by faith in the Son of God. That's why. And why is that? So that we can make the necessary corrections. Opportunity to grow and learn from the experiences. And then help others through those difficulties. Well, yeah. That's why. And you can see that throughout those reasonings that are given after the consideration of these things here. And then you can start making your list more and more of other things as well. But I want to end on this thought here. And that is Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3, the Hebrew writer brings to their attention when he says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Consider Jesus. And he gives a description of Jesus. There are the apostles, but then there is the apostle, the ultimate representative of God, the high priest, the one who goes into the most holy, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood. Consider him. Consider his character, how faithful that he is in verses 2 through 6. Consider it. Think about that. And when we consider those things, it then should motivate us. Because the further why of all of that you'll find in reference to that same context, it prevents the evil and unbelieving heart that is expressed there in verse 12. When our hearts and our minds are filled up with Jesus, considering his faithfulness, considering who he is and what he has done by taking his own blood into the most holy for you and I, it should motivate us. It should cause our hearts to believe in him, and it should encourage us as we encourage others, as verse 13 points out, when he says, but encourage one another day after day. And then I want to end with that why. Consider Jesus. It's because of what the writer then says over in chapter 12 of Hebrews. And verse 3 when he says, for consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. See, not to grow weary and lose heart. That's why we consider Jesus. And when you consider Jesus, you look at all the things that we have just covered, wrapped up in Christ. The beginning, Genesis 3:15, the one that would come and die for the sins of mankind. what God has done for us. He died so that we might live. Do you see that? That's the high priest expression there. We might live. How about that? Filled up and wrapped up in Christ Jesus our Lord. These things that we've talked about, when we look at the history, when we look at what we are doing, what did Jesus do? He endured. And so can you. So can I, because of him. So this morning, I want to encourage you to consider the Lord. I would encourage you to consider the Word of God in its entirety. God's Word in its entirety. Get the full picture. And when you get the full picture, it will help you overcome the unbelieving heart. You will be able to see the things that are said are true. You will be able to see that these things are right, that these are the things that we are to be applying in our lives. You will see that. And that these things are serious. So may you consider God's Word in your life. And as you consider God's Word, you'll be considering Jesus. Because that's what the Bible lesson is about. Jesus Christ our Lord. To help you to prepare for the judgment. If you had not put on Christ, now is the time. All things are ready. See, you're drowning in sin. When you have disobeyed God, you're drowning in sin. And there is Jesus who provides salvation for you. He is throwing out the rescue for you to stop drowning in sin. But you must respond in faith. Consider the generations of what happened when God was not in the picture. And consider the generations when God was. To produce the faith in you. Repent. Change your ways. Because you're feeling around through the history or the middle and the living of life is a hit and miss. But with the Lord, it is the right way. Confess it. Confess it as your King. Confess Him as your Lord. With a commitment to follow Him. And as you're following Him, through the middle of life, you are preparing for the end. And that is to be with Him in eternity as you stand in the judgment. Be baptized. Be immersed in water where your sins are washed away. And that is preparing you to walk with the Lord through life. You are clean. You are united with Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him, John 14, verse 6. So will you not put Him on today? Will you not consider Jesus? If you are, and you want to put Him on, come as we stand and sing the song that was in the